Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Okay, so you were told that I was going to talk about children tonight, but I'm going to talk about children because I always talk about children, but that's not really what I'm talking about tonight. Sorry. So, if this message has a title, it is The Importance of Fathers. This is something that the Lord has just really been pressing in on me. And so, we're just going to dive right in. I'm just going to give you scripture. And so, if you get offended, don't get upset with me. Get upset with God. Talk it out. Have a intense fellowship with the Lord about what he has to say in his word. So, okay. So, head of the house. Fathers, you are the head of your house. Did you know that? Husbands, you are the head of your house. So, in Genesis 3:16, it says, your desire shall be for your husband. He's talking to Eve. He says, and he shall rule over you. And as I was reading and getting insight, it's like, what does that even mean? But what it means is your desire shall be for your husband to decide. So whatever it is that you want as a wife, it's your husband that gets to decide. He shall rule over you. And so I know that's not fun. I'm sorry, girls, but here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5:23 through 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, what I really want to talk about is so often it's really easy for wives to think, I know my kids better than you. I'm with them more than you when we're talking to our husbands. And we have this idea that we know better sometimes. It's so easy to fall into that trap. But when we do that, when we bring that to our husbands, we diminish their role that God has given them as head of the house. And so I just want to, first I want to exhort husbands and fathers, don't lay down your role as the head. You cannot lay down that role. You cannot defer. Wives, respect your husbands as the head, especially when it comes to your children. Don't interfere. If your husband is disciplining the children, don't interfere with them, because what you're doing is you're sidelining their authority that God has given them. You need to be able to trust that the Holy Spirit can speak to your husband concerning your children, and that they can hear, even if they're not around, even if they're not there all the time. They don't have to know your child's personality to know the voice of God, to be able to hear what he's saying and how to raise your children. So I don't know why this is where the direction that the Lord is leading, but this is what I just feel like he's saying is, you know, it's so easy for us as wives to just like get that maternal instinct beast going on and saying, I've got this, I don't need your help. But that is opposite of what the Lord says. We need to say, I need you to lead. I need you to tell us the direction to go. And the next thing I want to talk about is the dangers of passivity. I've got some stories for you guys. It's going to be fun. Okay, so in Genesis, especially at the very beginning of of humanity, we see the dangers of a passive leader. With Adam, it starts with Adam and Eve. So I want to read this to you in Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. He was with her. He didn't say, "Eve, stop. You need to stop. This is the wrong way to go." He was passive. And instead of being the leader, he followed. He followed the sinful example. And so then we go on and we see Abraham with Sarah. And so in Genesis 16:2, I'm not going to read because you all know the story about how Sarah comes and she says, "I'm going to give you Hagar and you can do this. And this is the way to get what we feel like the Lord told us to get. It's a sidestep. We're going to do it. We're going to figure it out." And she's, in her mind, she's being practical. She's being pragmatic. She's going to get it done. You know, we're going to do what the Lord wanted us to do. And then it comes back. And Sarai, I'm going to turn to the scripture real quick because it's just, you kind of think Sarai's being a little punkish. I don't know if that's a word, but she comes back to him and she's like, "Why did you do this to me? How dare you do this to me?" And it's like, Sarai, you're the one who came up with the idea to begin with. But there's a principle here that I think the Lord really wants to highlight is, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.'" It was Sarai's idea, but Abraham didn't stop it. He went along with it. And so it's not on Sarai that the punishment came. It's on Abram. And we are all still living under the punishment of a child born out of the will of God. I hate to say that, but Ishmael is the line of all of the Islamic nations that are turned against from the Lord. Against the Lord. And so we're living under that passive decision by a leader. And Sarai wasn't trying to be wicked. Abram wasn't trying to be wicked. They were good people. They were righteous before God. But the leader was being passive. And instead of going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, what are you saying about this?" he deferred leadership to his wife. Now, I'm not saying never take any counsel that comes from your wife, because your wives have good things to say. But always take it to the Lord. Always say, "Okay, Lord, this is what my wife says. Is this where you're leading?" And the Lord will tell you. And if you submit yourself first to the Christ, to God's headship, and then to your husband's headship, and then it flows down like that, there's no judgment in that. You follow the way the Lord told you to go, but don't let it go in the opposite direction from the headship of God, because what comes down, it goes into your children, and you're going to see a subversive generation that you raise up when you have the parenting, the leadership coming from the wife instead of from the proper head channel. It goes God, husband, wife, children. And so anyways, let's see. Where are we going? And so, okay, one more story. I want to talk about Lot. So the Bible talks about Lot. It says Lot was a righteous man. It says he was a righteous man. But I want to talk about what happened with his family. He put himself in the middle of a sinful city, said, "I'm going to live here." He was still righteous. But then you see this, what's happening around Lot when the angels came and said, "Hey, it's time to go. You need to get out of here." It says he lingered. He wasn't quick to move. He was passive. And then you see he goes to his son-in-law's. His son-in-law's think he's joking. God's not going to bring judgment. What are you talking about? They did not respect his leadership. They didn't even go with him. And then you see his wife. His wife turns back. She turns to a pillar of salt. Then you see his daughters. His daughters have incestuous relationships with him. Lot was not a bad man. He was a passive leader. And so all of his family ended up under the destruction of a passive leader, a righteous man, but a passive leader. And so you cannot turn your back on this. Malachi 4:6, it says, I'm going to turn to it because I hate misquoting scripture. I just want to make sure that I always quote it right. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. That utter destruction comes when the fathers are passive, when they lay down their leadership right and role. It's your role, it's your right to be the leader of your house. Don't give it away, because there is someone waiting to take your place. There is an enemy waiting to destroy your children. Every time you step out of your house, there is destruction out the door. Sin is crouching at the door. We live in an age where it's not okay. It's not okay for you to be passive. I did not mean to get this intense. I'm sorry. But it's either our children are going to grow up in a generation where they're either going to be this way or that. They're either going to be wheat or chaff. There will be no gray area. And so what we do, we have, I'm going to do a little object lesson for you. We have clay in our hands. Yeah. Pass out some clay. These are your children.
Just a little chunk to everybody?
Yeah, just a little chunk. This is what you have. You've got clay in your hands. You let it stay there. It gets hard. You can't use it. It's not usable anymore. The only way we can mold our children is if we have them in our hands. If we put them before the Lord constantly and say, here they are, here they are. We can't be passive about this. We can't let the world mold this, because they will fire it into something unusable for the Lord. And so, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get intense. It just happens. So we're going on, we're talking about discipline, what the Lord expects of fathers. So there's three things that I want to highlight, or two things really, that I feel like the Lord really speaks to is, one is discipline, and two is compassion. Those are the two things that the Lord talks about fathers having. And so, so just on what I was saying about this clay, if you leave it alone, it gets hard. Psalm 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It says in Isaiah 64:8, when the Lord is talking about, we're talking about what we are before the Lord, it says, but now, O Lord, you are our father. We are the clay. And you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So what Isaiah is saying, he's saying, the father is the molder. He's the shaper of his child's identity. So this is a little funny side note. I've been doing children's ministry since I was 12 years old. So that means I've been doing children's ministry for 20 years. But I know exactly what you sound like when you're on the telephone, because your children imitate you. they're sitting there and they're role playing and they're talking. And it's like, hold on, just wait a minute. I had this little girl in my class. She said, what? It's like, and I was like, y'all been gossiping. Y'all need Jesus. But so, you know, we think they're playing. They're not playing. They're practicing. That's what they're doing. They're watching you, and they're seeing what you do, and they're practicing. They're practicing what they're going to be for the rest of their lives. So if you sit them in front of a television and you say, just do this, just be bored, be entertained, you know, you need entertainment to sustain you through life, then that's what they're going to grow up to think about themselves, is that life is boring and I need to be entertained constantly. That's what they're going to think. And so we have a whole generation that looks like that, where they can only function if they're being entertained. We've got to all be on our cell phones. We've all got to be on our, you know, have something going, have noise. But our children are being raised to counter the culture. They're being raised to hear the voice of the Lord. So if we want them to hear the voice of the Lord, if we want them to live that way, then we need to let them play that way and practice that. And so, let's see. I lost my train of thought. Okay. So I'm skipping all over the place, but so I just want to do a few more scriptures that talks about discipline, because, I mean, just go do a word study on discipline. It counters the culture. It goes against every parenting book you've ever heard. So some of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. We all want rest, right? I'm a mom. I know some of you are parents out there. You want rest. Discipline your kids. If you want rest, discipline your kids. So let's see. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. I want to come up on that with another one of my favorite scriptures. It's just, every time I read it, I laugh. But it says, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. It's Proverbs 19:18. And when I first read this, I thought, don't set your heart on putting your kids to death. Sometimes I feel like, I'm just going to be honest, my kids drive me crazy sometimes. but what the Lord is saying is, don't give up on your kids. Wow. Don't say, oh, that's just the way they are. They'll never be able to change, because you're signing their death sentence. You're saying, wow, I'm not going to discipline that out of them. Wow. That's who they are. That's their nature. And you are giving them over to that thing that you think you can't discipline out of them. But the Lord says, no, discipline your son, for there is hope. Amen. There is hope when we discipline our children. Wow. Just a few more. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. That goes against everything this world tells us. That is Proverbs 22:13. But your kids won't die if you discipline them. You show them love when you discipline them. I read a book, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know. But I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. But this book was talking about, it was a counselor, and this counselor had all of these grown-ups in her office that were mad. They were mad at their parents. Do you know why they were mad at their parents? Because their parents didn't restrain them. They did not hold them back. They were so mad, so angry, because they were stuck with drug addiction. They were stuck with all of these problems because their parents never said, no, you can't do that. I love you too much to let you do that. They were passive. They stepped back. And so I know that's none of you in this room, but I just want to encourage you, don't give up. It's so hard sometimes when you feel like you're fighting the same issue over and over, and they're not listening, they're not getting it. I mean, I have three boys, and they are all strong-willed. And I think, you know, the Lord just gave me kids so that I could feel my weakness. You know, like, I know that the Lord has put this mandate on my life to speak this. And it's not anything I've done, because daily the Lord proves to me, it's not you. It's not you. I put this in you, and I'm going to make you work for it. But he puts treasures in jars of clay. He uses weak things to confound the wise. Your children, what we saw today, it would look so weak and broken, didn't it? Sometimes my son gets on the mic and he prays, and I'm like, Lord, please use him, because it sounds so broken. But then I think about Moses, who's like, I stutter. I can't talk. God, what are you going to do with me? But Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And God said, I can use that. I can use humility. I can use things that are weak. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. So there's this secret weapon I want to tell you about in parenting. And you all know what it is. It's prayer. I mean, prayer, it fixes so much. It changes so much. You don't have to be a good parent. You have to be a good parent. That's not what I mean. But I feel on a daily basis with my kids, and I don't know what to do on a daily basis with my kids. So I just pray. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to do with them. I'm not leaving this room until you tell me what to do with them. I've locked myself in the closet before saying, I'm not going out until you tell me what to do, because they are crazy. And I feel crazy because they are crazy. And the Lord will answer. He will hear you. He will answer you. And sometimes it feels like there's delay, but he does. There's fruit in it. There's fruit when you say, God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I have nothing to give, but I just need you to tell me what to do right now. Because what you're doing, you're taking that clay that you have no idea what to do with, and you're saying, you got to take it. I can't take it. Sometimes I've asked the Lord, just parent my kids for me, because I don't know what to do with them right now, and I need a break, or it's going to be bad. So, like, I remember when Josiah was like little 7-month-old baby, and he was crying. He was crying so hard, and he would not stop crying. I'm like, what do I even do? And it's like, I have to leave the room, or I'm going to lose it. And I go over into the other room, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, Lord, can you just put him to sleep for me? Because I can't put him to sleep right now. I just can't. This is real. This is honest. And the Lord put that baby to sleep. He made that. That was the only time Josiah ever went to sleep on his own as a baby. But the Lord knew. It's like, it's going to be bad if she does. I got to intervene. She can't do this on her own. But Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. God is so gracious. He knows our weakness. Yeah. He knows our brokenness. And he's like, I give you this. I give you this thing. You can talk to me anytime you want to, and I will talk back to you. It's such a good thing. It's such a great thing, especially when you're a parent. So just concerning prayer, I pray for my kids all the time, because I cannot save them. No matter how hard I try or how much I want to, anything I, like, I'm not going to save them. I can't make them love Jesus. All I can do is continually, Lord, here's my lump of clay. You gonna do something with it? Please do something with it. Please save it. Please let this lump of clay be in heaven with me. Jesus, please, please, please. This is what I do all day long with my children. It was like, I don't know what to do with you. Lord, please, 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 please help my children. Please show yourself to them. Encounter them, because they can't get to heaven. They can't know Jesus unless he shows himself to them. Yeah. And so that's all we're doing as parents, really. We're putting our children in front of Jesus. We're saying, Jesus, they're yours. They belong to you. I cannot do anything without you. We can't save our children. We can't make them better. We can't do anything with them without the Lord, without partnering with the Lord. At best, you discipline your child and you have a lost good kid.
Yep.
That kid still goes to hell.
Yeah.
We have to give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
We have to dedicate these children to the Lord.
Yeah.
And say, do something. Move in their hearts. That's what we're doing every time we bring them into this place, every time we talk to them about Jesus, every time we bring them to the prayer room. We're positioning them. We're putting them on the wheel.
That's good.
And they have the right to get off that wheel, but we have the right as parents to keep on putting them on that wheel.
That's good.
And so you only have 18 years or less to do. To do this. It totally freaks me out. Josiah is turning 6 this coming month. I only have 12 years left to mold him, to shape him. I can't be passive. I can't stop. I've got to give it everything I have right now. Nobody else is going to care as much about your kid getting to heaven as you do. Nobody else will love your children as much as you do. You cannot afford to be passive. At best, somebody comes along and takes your place. At worst, the enemy comes along and takes your place. You can't count on us at best. You can't count on it. You got to do it yourself. You can't be passive. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Fathers, you can't be passive about this. Let's see. Okay, so pray, 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 pray. It fixes things. It makes up for your weakness. It's just so good. It's saying, Lord, your father of my children. That's what it does. So the next thing we're going to talk about is creating an environment for spiritual growth. I've already told you it's not play, it's practice. You have to be someone worthy to be imitated. I'm not going to try to say that. I said it wrong earlier. I was talking to Hannah. It's like imitable, imitable, imitable. Be imitable. There's your Scrabble word for the day. So be worthy of imitation. If you don't like what you see in your kids, then change the things that they're seeing. They're seeing you, and they're seeing what's on the television. What you put before them, they see that. I'm going to be that. So when I was little, my brother, he loved karate shows and Spider-Man and Action Man and all those things. So I could count on it. Every single time he watched one of those shows, I was going to be his punching bag afterwards, because he wanted to practice everything he just saw. He was going around the house, punching, doing karate kicks, and it's just, he saw it, he decided to be it. Our kids, they see it, that's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to be.
Good.
And so they see bad attitude. I've seen... My kids can't watch Thomas the Train. It's so sad. But they cannot watch Thomas the Train because they see the bad attitudes. And Thomas the Train is not about having bad attitudes. But some of the trains, it's like, it's trying to be, you know, teach a lesson, but they just see the bad. And so they mimic that bad. It's like, I'm going to have a bad attitude. It's like, that's not even what the point of it was. It's like, but we have to be so careful because they're so ready to imitate everything they see. So we have to eliminate the distractions. And media and materialism, it does the same thing to our kids as it does to us. As in the growing in the prophetic class last night, and Tori was talking about how entertainment, it dulls you to the Lord. It does the same thing to your kids. If you give them a bunch of noise, they can't hear the Lord. If you can't hear the Lord, they can't hear the Lord. And so eliminate those distractions. Like, that's all I'm going to say about that. Just, you know, ask the Lord, what can I do? What do you want me to do? What do you want in our lives and what do you not want? I'm not going to tell you, don't ever watch Octonauts because my kids watch it every now and again. But, you know, you have to decide. You have to talk to the Lord. But here's what I'm going to say. It's like if you're feeding your kids candy all day long, they are not going to want to eat the vegetables. If you're feeding your kids entertainment all day long, I've had Josiah come up to me and said, I don't want to go to church. It's boring. And that's my cue that he's been having too much entertainment in his life. Because when he's not, when that's not there, he doesn't think church is boring. But wow. I don't know why it is that the thing that is good for you tastes gross when you've been eating the junk. But that's just the way it is. Wow. So bring them to church. Bring them to the prayer room. Be purposeful with them. Don't let them just be entertained when they come here. Don't come up with ways to distract them when they're in this room. Focus them. Our job is to focus them. They're arrows. We've got to aim them in the right direction. And so, just like with my kids in the prayer room, what I do with them is I sit them on my lap sometimes when I see that they're all over and they're not focused. And it's like, you're just going to pray with me. And I'm going to pray into your ear. And I'm going to pray everything I feel like praying. I'm going to pray about I'm going to pray about you, and I'm going to pray about other stuff. And you're just going to hear me pray. And now they can pray. They can pray because they've heard mommy pray into their ears. And so, let's see, we're running out of time. Let's see, what else do we have? Okay, so I'm just going to give you some of my favorite resources really quick. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Family Sunday is one of my favorite resources. You don't even have to go buy it. We give it to you for free. Family Sunday. New and improved, but we give you an opportunity to train your children in the Lord, and there's no judgment here. It's just a free opportunity where you get to sit here with your kids, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to have problems, and you're going to have to take them out, and you're going to have to discipline them and know that they won't die when you discipline them. And you're going to take them back in, and we're going to listen some more, and it's going to be messy, but they're going to be trained up in the knowledge of the Lord.
Amen.
And so, and let's see. So the prayer room is another resource. Have your kids in that room. It's so good. It's so good for them. They get so much more from sitting in that room and encountering Jesus than they ever get from me talking to them or from us trying to, you know, use our words or our own human strength to train them. They get so much more by just being in the presence of the Lord. So these are just really practical things. Like, I know it's hard to get rid of media completely, but one of the resources that I found that's so good for our children, and they just love it, it's called the Torchlighter series, and it's about Christian heroes of the faith. So earlier today, they were watching about Richard Wurmbrand being tortured for Christ, and it's an animated series, and then it has a documentary that follows it that tells you just about their life. And the way I look at it is I'm conditioning my children to be in the last days. If we're the forerunners, they are the vanguard, the ones at the front of a fighting force that is moving forward. They're going to be the ones who are hitting it so hard, but they're going to be ready because we're conditioning them. We're training them.
That's good.
And so my kids know who the Nazis were. They knew who Corrie Ten Boom was. They know what happened. And they're excited about the Lord giving them their test of faith. They've watched Eric Little. They've watched, let's see, who else? Perpetua, St. Augustine. They've watched all these heroes in the faith, and they're being conditioned. I mean, I sit there and I'm crying. I'm like, Lord, help me to be strong like Corrie Ten Boom. And all the, like, Ava comes to me one time. She's got, I've got water in my eyes. But, you know, they're learning. They're learning what it means to be strong in the faith and to not back down and to be courageous in the Lord. And so that's what we want to put in front of our children. Media is not bad. Videos are not bad. You know, it's not bad. It's what it is that's bad. It's the content. If you put good content in front of them, you're going to have good fruit. If you put bad content in front of them or mediocre content in front of them, you're going to have mediocre fruit. And so just, you know, be selective. There's other things I won't go into. Let's see. I just want to give a final, you know, thing to say is, you know, we only have so many years. So remember what you have in your hands. Remember what you hold in your hands. Because this lump of clay seems like nothing. But God says that he puts treasures in jars of clay. So if we mold them to be able to hold something that is purposeful, then it doesn't matter that they're just a lump of clay because they've been molded to hold something valuable. We are molding them to hold something valuable. And so I love this scripture because it reminds me of what I can take with me. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. There's so much to unpack in that scripture. But children are a heritage. You can't take your clothes with you. You can't take your cars with you. You can't take your house with you. But you can take your kids with you if you train them right. If you don't sideline your responsibility, you can take your kids with you. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Children are a blessing. They're not a curse. They're a blessing. And God intends for you to train them up in righteousness.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.